Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Happy Tuesday, LinkedIn. Good morning. Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Yeah. Here with Nick and George today. How you guys doing, man?
Doing well. Sorry, I got some shocking news not too long ago, a minute ago. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, and like, I mean, AI news okay. Is one thing. Yeah, no.
Are you gonna be all right?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about myself, and you know, this news made me think about like what happens to me when I'm like a decade older. But you know, well, it's a thing for another time. But I'm doing good.
That's crazy to think about right now. What's going to be happening in 10 years? Especially if we don't wake up right now.
Yeah, not only with us, but with the world and with like this idea of AI and assistance. And I don't know, maybe I've always been part AI and I just don't know it. Maybe that's why, Nick, at 53, I look like I'm 43. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But
This guy over here found the fountain of youth, didn't want to tell anybody about it.
Well done, either way. So we're showing up every day now, talking about the latest AI news, cutting edge tools and skill sets for everybody, for business owners, marketers, everyday individuals. Nico has been talking about some unlocks on the personal fronts at home. So whether you're looking to streamline your workflow or just, you know, stay ahead, maybe get ahead of the curve a little bit, you know, we hope this is the right place for you. We want to help you rise and thrive. Thanks to AI.
Oh, nice.
What are we talking about today? What's new?
Boy, do I have something for you guys. So, yeah, normally we would be talking about tools, but I'd like everybody to sort of know that to me, it's not about the one thing. So like, yeah, okay, I keep in touch with like what's going on with the models because that's the core basis of what everything else is building off of. Realistically, I'm on the whole landscape. I'm looking at the software, the hardware, the chipsets, the materials that are making it, who's making the robots based on it, who's driving automations based off of it, who's building stuff based off it, everything. Some really interesting stuff about the Longshoreman story, but probably get to that a little bit later this week, because what I found out today was utterly amazing to me, and especially to what I believe in and how I believe the future should go. There is a school with no teachers.
What?
There's a school with no teachers that only runs 2 hours a day.
No.
Now, before I tell you anything else, I just as a piece of evidence, before anybody says, this is impossible, if you want to go further impossible here, they run an Airbnb where their bookings are currently at $10,000, I believe.
For how long?
I'm not even sure how long it's booked out, but they run their own Airbnb. So this school has no teachers. It's all run by AI. AI is the only thing via iPads and computer interface that is teaching them. And it is doing the one thing I have wanted to see so badly in school my entire life, Socratic method. These kids are learning how to put furniture together. They're learning how to cook their own food. They're learning how to, they're learning arithmetic, but they're learning it through how to pay bills and how to make money and how to start a business, because that's the math that is important for everyday life, right? I don't know anybody that's running a law firm that needs calculus, unless you're running a law firm that deals with, you know, specifically with numbers. Maybe you do something with property tax and it's good to know calculus. You do things a little bit faster. I don't know anybody that needs quantum mathematics for that though. I don't know a doctor that needs calculus.
That's light work.
You know what I mean?
I do that on a Tuesday.
So like this thing, and so like, okay, no teachers or the kids just running around amok. No, they're, I forget what they call them, but there's, you know, basically supervisors who are there with the kids, but they're just parents basically. They're not teachers. They're not required to be teachers. They are actually encouraged not to try to teach the kids. They are only encouraged to help them to interface with the generative AI. It seems like this is a terrible thing. There's plenty of people who have said, you know, oh, too much exposure will make it worse. Again, these kids are at school 2 hours a day, right? And they are doing things that I have never seen in other high schools, ever. This one girl was showing off how she was using generative AI to do what? Turn around and create a mobile app that is a generative mobile app to give you advice on dating.
Oh,
remember that whole thing about,
you need
to learn to code. We have to go learn how to code. We got to pay $2,000 to learn Python and take all these coding courses and all that kind of stuff. Really? Because a high school kid just developed their own generative AI app mobile on their phone. And I guarantee you they don't know the first thing about coding mobile apps.
So newsflash, this went from possibly a 30-minute podcast to a 3-hour podcast. First of all, I acted like I was shocked, but I'm not shocked. And Nico, I'm going to tell you this. I'm actually kind of excited because, and listen, you can send the hate mail, george@georgebthomas.com. Feel free. But the educational system is broken. It has been broken for years. It is outputting things that we don't need anymore. We do not need more people on a manufacturing line. We do not need people who can retain information long enough before they clock out. So when I hear you talk about that, I'm like, oh, you mean it's a school that's going to create people that we need in the future that can actually think for themselves, that are creative, that like have this. By the way, we didn't combine this. We didn't know we were going to do this, but today's skill is AI literacy. You mean they're going to have AI literacy and know how to actually live in a world where they're going to have these assistants to do the things that they're going to do? You mean they're going to spend less time wasted inside of a homeroom classroom and a lunch period, and they'll actually be able to do real shit in the world? Oh, okay. I think I'm down for that.
This is one of those things where, you know, where there's fear of this stuff. It's because change is hard and we're comfortable in the old ways and we don't know what the future holds. So it's not everybody's like that. We have powerful tools now available to us to make things like this happen. This is where you take out all of those subjective biases. And things like AI can help you design, you know, curriculums. Like if we tell it, hey, we think kids are going to have to know about this and this and this when they grow up, because we never had that. It's going to design a curriculum that teaches you math through entrepreneurship.
Let me give you a real world example of this. First of all, one of the things that I do is I go to bed a master. I wake up as a student. I'm always learning. I have to have that mindset. We do this other podcast called Beyond Your Default. And Liz, my co-host, was like, hey, I want to do an episode on the happiness paradox. And I was like, sweet. I don't know what that is. So over the weekend, I literally grabbed my GPT voice assistant that talks to you. And I'm in my backyard on my back porch going, tell me what the happiness paradox is. Why is the happiness paradox important or not important to a human's life? Oh, you just mentioned this thing. How does that actually affect if we're rooted in these four things? Oh, so if that's true, then why does this happen? And I had an hour-long conversation where I was learning about something that I wanted to know more so that I could turn around and actually do a podcast where we are educating people on our thoughts on the topic.
Not to cut you off, I was talking to a colleague and I had asked her because she just had a baby. And so I asked her, I said, you know, what are you, this how I also figured out that she's probably a decade younger than me. I was like, well, what do you think of the day when, you know, Teddy Ruxpin is teaching your kid, right?
And she said, who's Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah, she did. So I had to, you know, she figured it out though. So we went with Tickle Me Elmo. But, you know, what happens on that day? And though she seemed a little, initially, she seemed a little, not necessarily resistant to it, but, you know, just trying to understand, wrap your head around it, which seems, you know, it's very confusing for a parent until why? How many times your kid asks you why?
Oh, God.
But dad, why? But dude, why? But why?
Why is the sky blue?
But how? Now you have this thing that's with you all the time that answers those questions. Again, this Socratic method of teaching where, like yourself, how does this thing work? Why does this happen? You just kept asking why, how questions, right? That's how you learn, okay? And so you have this feedback. And to me, I got to tell you, I think this is the greatest thing to have ever happened to education. I know this is exactly what Sam and Dario and all these guys were talking about making education and intelligence free for everybody. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just hope that it does. And I don't necessarily know what it looks like. But all these states that we used to look down on, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, for being too destitute to have the money to have the education programs. Why is our intelligence gated by money?
Oh, bro. See, it's going to be a 3-hour podcast.
Right? So like now it's not, right? Intelligence is free. No more blockades. I'm just waiting. I'm excited to see what happens to the rest of America that's been kept from being able to learn like this at this rate and in this way.
Well, let's talk about the blockade, which I want to hear what you mean by AI literacy, George. How does one go about that? How do you think? What are you getting at there?
Yeah. So, and it's not as complex as it sounds. Like AI literacy is probably the smartest part of the whole thing that I'm going to talk about. But in other words, what I'm saying is learning the language of artificial intelligence. And the God's honest truth, AI is, as we just witnessed with Nico's, by the way, in a million years, if you asked me, what is Nico going to bring up this morning? I would not have said AI in education, but AI is shaking things up. In education, for business owners, for marketers, for sales pros, for everybody. Like AI is just shaking up the world. And here's the thing that I want to do before everybody gets anxious, because I literally was having this conversation this morning with you guys and fully understanding there are humans that would maybe hear this and they're like, they want to hurl. And there are humans that hear this and they get excited. And like teachers, if teachers heard that, oh my God, AI is stealing my job. Take a breath. I want you to realize something that Nico said in there. There's at least still these guardians, whether it be like a parent or a teacher. So maybe the teaching part of teaching changes and maybe some of it is still leverage. But AI is not here. This radical change is not here to replace you. It's here to help you do what you do only better. Imagine if teachers could be faster. Imagine if teachers could be smarter. Imagine if marketers and business owners could be faster and smarter. One of the things that really resonated at Inbound in my Inbound talk was when I said, you've never heard a carpenter complain that a hammer was going to take their job, or you've never heard that a doctor was going to lose their job to a scalpel. And people really resonated that. AI is your new tool. It's your new assistant. You need to learn how that tool works. A construction worker gets great after swinging a hammer for like a long time. A doctor has to go to school and use the scalpel for a long time. You need to understand your assistant and use your assistant. To get the most out of it, you need to understand it. Right? And that's where AI literacy comes in. So what is this AI literacy? It's learning a new language, or like learning a new language, except you don't need to memorize like conjugations and you don't have to have a perfect accent and all that kind of crazy stuff, right? This is the most important part of what I'm going to say for this skills section. You just need to know enough to make it work for you. You just need to know enough to make it work for you. You don't have to be a coder or a tech wizard, but understanding the basics of how AI works and what it can do will give you a serious advantage over those humans that are ignoring it or just Heisman trophying it. Like, I get it out of here. I don't care. It can run me over. It's your secret weapon. If we take this back into the business realm, because I think that's most of the viewers or listeners, like it'll help you analyze data. It'll help you automate tasks. It'll even help you create some of the dopest content that you could ever create, like quicker, more impactful. But the trick is you've got to know how to wield it effectively if you want to stay ahead of the game. Think of it like this. And I think this is the cool part for me, the part that I've learned along the way. You don't need to know how to build AI systems. Now, while Nico wants to probably do that, you don't have to do that. You just need to know how to use them. Like, we do this in everyday life, right? Think of a car, or think of AI like a car. You don't have to be a mechanic who knows how to put the engine together from scratch, or what the alternator is, or what this like vacuum hose does. You just need to know how to get in the damn driver's seat and drive it. And by the way, use the GPS to get to your destination. And we all do that when we get in a car. Here's the thing that I want to just put in a bug in people's ear.
When the fact that you never look up directions anymore.
Oh my God. I don't know where I am unless I do my GPS. But here's what I want you to think about AI and AI literacy. Great prompted suggestions. How can we make this better? The power of questions in real life is a thing. The power of questions with your AI assistant is a real thing. You have to practice. You have to ask questions. But I want to get practical for a second. Say you're a marketer. AI can help you figure out which content is getting the most traction with the audience. Segments. You can start to segment it more, create it more in depth. People will start to vibe with your message. But then it can also, like, you can adjust the strategy based on those insights because of your assistant. Again, you can adjust the strategy. You are in the driver's seat. It is assisting you. Sales, you can sift through data all day. Why? AI can sift through data and tell you which prospects are most likely to convert way faster. AI can serve up the insights, but you've got to be the one to take action and close the deal. It's all about teamwork. Here's the funny part. I know I'm talking about AI literacy, but there are so many humans out there that can't even work with the human teams. You're going to have a problem. Like, if you don't work well, if you don't play well with others right now, the world that we are moving in, when it's you and AI side by side, AI is your sidekick, you're in trouble. All right, so here's the thing. Three things. One, take time to learn the basics. Spend a little time watching some intro videos, listen to this podcast, whatever. Read some articles. Two, pick up a freaking AI tool and start using it day to day. You don't have to use them all. You don't have to get overwhelmed. One, the idea here is pick one and get comfortable with it. Pick another one, get comfortable with it. I literally have a backup to the main tool I use. Like, if that tool goes down, because we live in a world where the internet and tech goes down, I have a backup that I'm comfortable with using as well. Third thing I'm going to say is stay curious. Listen to this podcast, read articles, subscribe to newsletters. The more you know, the more you can use AI to make your work life not just easier, but better. And by the way, that's what Nico was talking about, is like, education, better.
Yep.
Business, better. Marketing, better. Wake up!
I saved what I think is sort of the best parts, which speaks to exactly what George was saying, for last. In this whole cusp of this educational, new educational method, the one thing that they did that was not AI assisted was rejection practice. The practice of being rejected by somebody for an idea, for a thought, for an opinion, for whatever it is, because the models are not, they're designed, they're engineered to not do that. They're engineered to only help us. They're not engineered to necessarily represent a simulated situation like that. I'm sure that with enough prompting, you could maybe get it to do something similar to it, but not in the way that a human would, not with the same type of human reaction.
Empathy.
So to your point, right. I don't want to go back there because yeah, I could have debated you two on stage for a while about the empathy thing, because me and my wife got into that as well, but I don't want to get into it. Philosophy goes on forever. But what I thought was interesting about that is, again, what you said about marketing. It's like, yes, we use this as a tool, but we also, again, not only have the human verification aspect of it, but we also have the human verification of how people are using the tool. So even when it comes to managers, are you using it effectively? When it comes to team members, are you able to get the same output as I am? How are we working together in order to do this? How is each team member maximizing along the way? And then on top of which, again, monitoring output from all different angles. Hey, is this prompt from this model as good as this prompt from this other model, as good as this one from this other model? There's still a lot of testing that needs to go on, a lot of fine tuning that needs to go on. And at the end of the day, it's human hands that are on it, right? And when it comes to teaching, yeah, okay, there's going to be this method where the computer handles all the positives, but maybe it is the human teacher that handles all the emotional things that the machine can't deal with. So now teachers take on a different role rather than having to themselves remember gobs and gobs of information, right? Their main goal is to teach a child, teach a person how to interact and how to understand the world around them, more so than just, you know, hey, here's our book lesson. Here's your pop quiz. You know, let's get her done.
You're breaking my brain right now, because I immediately go to, Well, that means that when you're getting hired to be an educator, there's definitely a double down on making sure that we have good humans in the seats to do this new thing that they have to do. And I'm not beating up educators, by the way. I love educators. I feel like I'm an educator. I love educating people. But sometimes anything we do becomes a job. And when growing our future humans becomes a job and not a passion, we have reached a moment. Anyway. Yeah.
No, I think this is where there is no shade on the actual people in the classroom, because so often they're not put in a position to be successful, and they have to teach to the test and not teach, you know, for knowledge and understanding and all these things that Nico mentioned. You know, and that's not dissimilar from what we always talk about inside of orgs. Like, how do we put people in a position to be successful? And when you describe that, Nico, I was thinking, like, if we rely on AI for all these other more objective, where it's proven over and over that, you know, positive reinforcement has all these effects, but there's still that emotional understanding in the moment that's required, it puts us in the position to always be present, because that's the part, as long as we're dealing with other human beings, that's the caveat here. There will be moments in the future where you might be interacting with a robot and this becomes less important. But if you're in the deal room trying to close a sale, and let's say you've got AI right there, you know, helping you, and then it comes to light that the CEO knows the brother of the organization that you're trying to close, it's not going to be able to pick up on that. You'll be able to use it once you identify that scenario. It's like, oh, it's like, basically this is a subjective thing that was just added into this conversation, so we need to handle this differently. Now you can get help with that. But this identification of, oh, this is different right now because of some emotion or some new human has come into play, we miss that stuff when we're the ones having to write all the notes and constantly think of everything that's going on. We miss those nuances. And if we can kind of unload that mental load, yep, we are in a position to be as successful as possible.
It's funny that you mentioned this, because I had a AI consulting hour with a person 4 days ago. 5 days ago. Anyway, doesn't matter. One of the questions they had was meeting assistants, AI assistants for meetings. And I was talking to them about the platform that I use. And I said, the biggest thing that you need to understand is it'll take you from being a note taker to being a navigator in your meetings. And the light bulb moment, the brain explosion of like, you mean I can actually be who I've always wanted to be on my calls instead of jotting down notes the entire time, was like, you could tell in that alone, in that time frame, like we had freed a human to actually be the human they wanted to be, because they were going to have a new assistant that could take notes for them.
Yep. Yeah. And in those moments, like, that doesn't mean you can't take notes. Like, you sure as hell should note down the most insightful things that pop up. Right. And then after the conversation, start confirming with the AI that it also thinks it's insightful or why it's insightful. And just like, it's still learning too. Like, it's way better at learning than we are, honestly. And when you get that loop going, man, that's the powerful thing. But with this more than anything else, like, there's no prompting course. There might be some workshops you can do where you're the one like doing it. But if you're not the one using this, like, I think back to when I always talked to my mom about Google and why I was good at it, right? I was literally like, whatever's in my head, I just put that question into Google, exactly, word for word. Like, yeah, that's right. How I got good at it. It's the same thing with these tools. Like, if you don't know where to start, just whatever is on your mind at the moment, just put it in there, see the response, react.
Chris, it's funny, yep, because sometimes I've thought about, like, I need to change my job title to like pro Googler, because it's like, for years, and I told Dan Moyle this, like, when I worked at Impulse Creative, dude, you don't need to know everything. You know, you need to know how to find where everything is. With AI, that is so much easier to like be able to find where everything is quicker. Anyway, if you were a great Googler, if you were a great communicator, if you are great with playing with others, you are positioned to be dope in this new world that we're entering.
I want to, since we only have a minute left, that's perfect timing because I'm gonna leave George with this, and I'm sure that you and I will have a separate side conversation. But in the realm of empathy, good sir, there was a study that was done. Patients at a hospital were given, you know, the same treatment essentially, but some of them had a real human bedside doctor and the others had Dr. GPT. Dr. GPT way outperformed the human doctor.
Really?
When it came to bedside manner. Because to your point, when you think about it, Dr. GPT is never tired, is never annoyed, is never angry, doesn't have some issues going on at home that they're bringing into the workplace, is never complacent, loves their job, loves helping people, and is always happy and excited every single day. Can't replace that.
Who wouldn't want to wake up with a tool like that?
That's the thing. The technology's here, and it's up to you to use it to your advantage. We're all sitting here and we're like, AI's the future. Like, AI might be the future, but we need to not forget that even though we've kind of like exploded the educational field this morning and exploded the medical field this morning, we can't forget humans, good humans, who are leveraging it. That's the real magic behind it all.
But what do we need those humans to do, Nico?
We need them to oversee. We need them for oversight. And we need them to wake up.
With AI.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.